we're delighted to be here at Newton Rigg College talking about StockMax with Sam Riley-Gunn, who lectures on game and wildlife at Newton Rigg and also oversees the gamekeeping on the college's own land. So, first of all, just tell us a little bit about yourself, your background and your roles here at Newton Rigg.
Well, I usually introduce myself as a bit of an educated idiot in terms of gamekeeping. I grew up in Yorkshire on a little hill farm, rearing with my dad and going out shooting and learning the trade with gamekeepers. And it was decided at 16 it was a great idea to pack me off up here to Cumbria to study the courses I now teach. I disappeared to university for a bit and I've lectured here for 12 years. And now I'm a jack of all trades, everything from a gamekeeper, a deer stalker, a lecturer, and the bit that nobody ever sees is counsellor, account manager, marketer, all sorts of things.
And on your fleece there, you've got a badge which says the Northern School of Game and Wildlife. So can you just explain how that fits into Newton Rigg and what courses you run here for tomorrow's gamekeeper?
So the Northern School of Game and Wildlife is a brand that was created while we were owned by the universities, what we call the Wild Years. So Newton Rigg was actually bought by a large university based in the Northwest, and we weren't allowed to market ourselves as Newton Rigg. So to keep students coming in to learn gamekeeping, one of my predecessors created the NSGW brand and put a blackcock on top of it as our bird of choice, mostly because it's an iconic upland bird and we call ourselves the Northern Centre for what we do, and we felt that it represented what we do very well. If we can teach students conservation alongside what we do, we're doing well.
Because that's an important part now. In fact, it's a fundamental part, isn't it, of a gamekeeper's role? And you just said that's absolutely crucial to what you're teaching gamekeepers here now.
Yeah, yes, it is. More and more, the gamekeeper's role is changing from that of a manager of game birds and a pest controller to a custodian of the countryside. The landscape we see now with the woodlands and the moorlands were pretty much saved by shooting in the post-war intensification of agriculture. And what gamekeeping has to do is find this new role in a brave new world where shooting is delivered to a high standard that generates a good income, but on top of that ensures that we ensure maximum benefit to biodiversity and the environment to make sure that we keep the habitats and those species that are so important to our countryside there for future generations.
Yeah. StockMax has been a member of the National Gamekeepers Association for many years now, and we've become aware that biosecurity and minimising the use of antibiotics has become a major priority for the industry. So has this changed what you teach and changed your own gamekeeping practices here?
Absolutely. Rearing is becoming far more difficult in the modern age. Back when the people who were teaching me to rear game birds, you could basically put some birds in a shed, rear them, you wouldn't have to get a drop of medication out, and everything would work wonderfully. Nowadays, we've got so much disease challenge, if we don't address biosecurity, you can't run a profitable business. So what we've done is we've brought in far more teaching around the use of chemical barriers, such as foot baths. We actually strongly advise that the students don't enter the sheds that much, because one of the main vectors for this disease is actually the operator, the game rearer, going in that shed. If you can keep it a closed system, it's actually your birds do better. That doesn't mean you don't look at them and manage their welfare, but if you can manage them at a distance, you definitely keep them healthier. the other thing is managing stocking rates. We've always stocked lower than what the manufacturers recommend for the sheds to reduce stress, because stress reduction in birds, environmental stress, is actually what allows the immune system to sort of back off. If the bird's stressed about overcrowding and things that are happening around it, that's when the bacteria and the other pathogens manage to get a grip on it. So if you get a good environment, a good clean environment, high quality feed and a good clean water source, and you keep the birds quiet and away from stress, you tend to get a more successful result.
And I hope that StockMax plays a part in this as well, but we'll talk about that a bit later on. Because I wanted to ask you whether there were other major issues and challenges that game shooting and game keeping are currently facing or are likely to face in the near future.
Yeah. Well, like most industries, shooting has its issues that the industry itself needs to address. But actually, I think overall, the key challenge the industry is facing is the rural-urban disconnect. So I think when you look at what we do, in that we shoot things, it's very easy to see it simply from a negative point of view. Whereas if there's an experience of what we do and why we do it and what the outcomes are, things would be far less challenging. And I think managing the media and people's opinions is probably the future's is the industry's biggest challenge in the future. Making sure there's balanced comment and balanced reaction to what we do.
And obviously here at Newton Rig, you're basically educating the next generation, and BedMax is always very keen to support the next generation in all our markets. Do you think there is enough interest from young people in making this their careers?
I think so. While all young people are pretty interested in technology, a lot of the young men and ladies that we get through our doors don't want that to be their life. They might have a phone in their pocket, but they usually turn around and say, I don't want to spend my life sitting at a computer. I want to be able to go out and work and enjoy my life. And actually, I think a bit of digital detox and a bit of digital burnout in the future might actually make this industry pretty attractive.
And obviously for 25 years now, you've been sending out the next generations of gamekeepers from Newton Rig. Not necessarily you personally, but Newton Rig has. And so tell us some of the jobs your students have gone on to take up since they've left.
Our students have disappeared into any myriad of roles. So we've obviously put quite a few pheasants and partridge and grouse keepers out there. We've got a good smattering of deer stalkers all across the Highlands and the rest of the country. But the interesting ones, the ones that pop up, are organisational work. So we've had quite a few of our students represent the industry nationally, work in the National Gamekeepers Organisation. We've got a couple currently working for BASC. And then you get people disappearing to Canada out to be professional hunters, out to South Africa, again, to clients out on the plains. We've got one out in New Zealand at the minute, sort of managing a deer park and rearing birds, and an English-style driven game shoot out there. It's a big surprise where they end up sometimes. I mean, we've even had students disappear off and become foresters working for the Forestry Commission and all sorts of things.
All great ambassadors for Newton Rig, which is one of the very few further educational establishments in the country to have its own shoot. So how do you manage your shoot, and what about your game bird rearing management?
Well, to say we've got a shoot is just a little bit inaccurate. We manage about 7,000 acres of Cumbria, part of which splits between our grouse moor, which is located near Shap, and our little partridge shoot that we've run out on the college farm, the area around the campus. So we're very much a conservation orientated department. We have no interest in being a commercial shooting enterprise. We really focus on making sure that we can deliver shooting that's memorable and good, but in a way that sustains the environment, that makes sure that the young people that have been trained on our shoots could equally go work on a nature reserve and ensure that we keep Britain's fields green and singing.
So you're kind of showing the way forward, aren't you, really, for shooting?
I would hope that what we did in gaining the Purdy Award for the biodiversity work on the shoot is one of the key things that young people take away and embed on out in their role as real gamekeepers, because it's the most important thing gamekeepers do.
Yes, it's that was a hell of an achievement around the Purdy.
Yes, I mean it was mostly my forebears, the last two senior lecturers that put the groundwork in. But as an ex-student who worked on the shoot, putting a lot of the fences and hedges in, and at the time I was lecturing here at the time. It's a big achievement, and it's a great achievement for the young people that put it in place as well, because it is all student run, student delivered, student created.
Absolutely. So we come to the $64,000 question. You've been using StopMax pine shavings in your rearing units here at Newton Rig for last season,
mm-hmm.
I think,
yep.
For a season. Has StopMax made any difference to you and your game rearing?
Yes, I think it has. I mean, this is a very personal note. I actually suffer from hay fever, and being able to see in the sheds is a rather nice thing, actually. Using straw-based products was getting to be difficult.
Was that bringing on a hay fever attack?
Oh, yeah. I mean, obviously, in spring, when you're rearing in spring, there's a lot of pollen out there anyway, which is challenging, but when you get clouds of dust coming out the side of sheds, it's it was a tendency to let the students do it. So yeah, there's very definitely a personal advantage. I mean, if you want to transport that over in terms of rearing and dust inhalation and emphysema, game farmer's lung, there's definitely a lot less concern about inhalation of fine particles. I think birds like it. I know it sounds silly, but they chicks have a really special phase where they just play, where they're new and everything's new to them, and you can see them picking the big flake up and running about like, this is mine, wow, look at this. I can't say I've really seen that with a lot of the product. But it is important. Environmental enrichment manages disease and is a big challenge in a perception of what we do.
Mm.
The other thing is, while we had the birds in the brooder sheds, we certainly had very little environmental disease challenge. So we didn't particularly have to treat or manage anything while the birds were sealed up with the bedding.
So it's helping with health and biosecurity.
I would say so. Yeah.
Talking about earlier on.
Yeah. The natural antibiotic properties definitely can be seen. And that shed litter or that shed floor is one of your major inputs. Obviously, you've got water and food going in there, but that's the thing they interact with.
Mm.
And if you don't manage the cycling there, the disease cycling in that bedding, you're going to have problems.
And one of the things we've heard from other game rearers is that the size of the flakes mean that the chicks can't. They might pick it up and play with it, but they can't eat it, or they can't swallow it.
It definitely doesn't make it down the esophagus. We actually autopsy most of the birds that come out of the rearing unit. It's just a field autopsy. You just open them up and see what's there. And we, in all the birds we looked at, we didn't find any bedding matter ingestion. There was no impaction in the crops.
Brilliant. Well, it's incredibly kind of you to give us all this time, Sam, but we've just got one more question. There's been a big drive in recent years from the shooting industry, if that's what it's called, to promote the food value of game. So what's your favourite kind of game to eat, and do you have a favourite recipe?
Well, I've got to say partridge, because we're a partridge shoot. Partridge is very definitely just a little bit more subtle in its flavour and a little bit more moist than fair. But we've been banging this drum about making sure that you eat what you shoot for the last 25 years. So much so, I won't say it's probably my favourite recipe, but the most productive recipe is our affectionately named roadkill stew. I hasten to add to all those listening, we aren't feeding bits of things off road to students. But what we do is any game we generate on the moor, on our flight ponds, on our driven lowland shoot, gets processed by the students in our game larder, and then the resulting meat is either distributed to the guns on the shoot day as processed game, or taken to the teaching kitchens and converted into this roadkill stew, which yeah, takes no finesse to produce whatsoever. A 16-year-old who's never washed up can manage to produce it. So. And you're looking at basically chopping and parboiling some root veg, browning the game meat with a bit of seasoning and a bit of garlic and some onions, combining them in a big stew pan. I tend to use beef stock because it tends to go with the slightly richer gamey flavour. And then the bit that usually sends the students over the edge, the bit that gets the bowls cleaned by the end of the lunch break, is a good splash of Worcester sauce in there. It definitely lifts it, shall we say.
We're going to look forward to seeing you on MasterChef sometime soon. Sam, thank you so much for talking to us today.
Thank you very much. Thank you for coming.